And so we are going to be today in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you want to turn there, we're going to go over a passage today that God's kind of laid on my heart. Pretty heavy over the past couple weeks, but real heavy earlier this week. And so we're going to start I'm going to back up into verse 1 and start at verse 1. So if you would read along with me. Said, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. This is Paul speaking. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven, and I know such a man, whether in body or out of the body, I do not know, but God knows. How he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which it is not lawful for man to utter. Of such a one I will boast. Yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees to me to be or hears from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for the mercy and the grace that you bestow upon us. Lord, forgive us where we fall short so many times to think it's about us. Lord, may we seek to honor you. May you take your word and Lord, show us that it is alive. Mold us and make us into what you would desire us to be, that we might glorify and honor you more. In your name we pray. Amen. This is a passage that Paul is dealing in Corinthians with a society that's probably not the best society. And so we can kind of relate to that somewhat. But he's talking to them basically because there are false prophets in Corinthians at the time, and they're telling people that, hey, we're having these visions, we're having these revelations, and what Paul is saying is not right. Paul doesn't want to brag or boast about himself because he knows it's not about himself. But he's going to tell them some things, and he starts out even in third person, so it's not like he's boasting or bragging about himself, but what he's saying is true. And so he does come out and tell them what took place. Now, scholars want to say, some will say this happened at such and such time during Acts. Others will say it happened, and they really don't pinpoint it to one situation. But we know it was 14 years earlier, he tells us, from the time that 2 Corinthians was written. And so as Paul is sharing with them, he's talking about how at one point, and he really doesn't know, and it really doesn't matter whether he was physically taken to heaven or out of the body, spiritually had a vision of heaven. It doesn't really matter in which case. What matters is the fact that God was moving in his life. But he goes on to say, it's not about even God moving in my life. It's just about God. And so instead of bragging about the things that were going on in his life, because you look at how God had protected Paul through all the things that he had done. He's telling this vision, but look back at Paul's life. How in his ministry, he had been stoned and left for dead. He had been whipped and beaten. He'd been imprisoned. He'd been shipwrecked. And through all of it, he's still, I'm just going to glorify God. It's not about me. It's not about woe is me, all the things that are happening to me. It's about God. And that's the part of the passage that I want us to get to today as we look at this. Because he says there, starting in 7, when he says that he doesn't want to be exalted above anything. And so to keep that from happening, God allowed something. This thorn in the flesh. Man, if we could all stop and think, we could all raise our hand and say, I remember, or I dealt with this. Because there are times that God allows thorns in our life. Now, biblical scholars want to say, some believe it's a physical thing. Some believe it was eye trouble. Some believe that because of visions in his life, if he bragged about them, hey, let's give him these. His eyesight was bad because maybe the blinding light or whatever. So some scholars want to say it was a physical ailment. Other scholars want to say no, it really had to do with something that buffeted him. There was a spiritual presence in Corinth that actually caused him trouble. He was always dealing with somebody out there, this evil spiritual presence that buffeted him. But it really doesn't matter whether it was physical or whether it was inside his body or whether it was outside. What really matters is he understood. And what he understood that day is what I want us to understand today. Is that God allowed that thorn. Man, you and I, if we were God and we're not in any way, but if we were my people, I wouldn't allow them thorns. But He allows us thorns for a reason, to remind us that He is a sovereign God. I'm in control. You're allowed thorns because I'm controlling those thorns. They may have came through the route of Satan, but God allowed it. We can look back at Job and how God allowed Satan to attack Job. He wants you to understand that whatever you're going through in your life, whatever thorn you feel like you have that reminds you of anything, that it's not just so it makes your life rough. It does a couple things. It reminds you that your God is sovereign. It also reminds Satan that God is sovereign. Think about that. Because Satan loves it anytime he can bring a thorn upon Paul or upon one of God's children. But he has to know there's limits to his power because God is sovereign. And so God allows those thorns in your life and my life. Now, they look different. They may be emotional. They may be a person that God has placed in your life or allowed in your life that makes you rely on Him. Because if Paul had not had this thorn in the flesh, then he may have become very boastful. Man, look at me and all that God has done through my life. He changed me from this, and now I'm seeing visions. I'm being transported to the third heaven and paradise, and I've actually got to see the dwelling place of God. But God says, here, take this thorn and remember that you're human. Remember that there's one that opposes you. And you're going to have to deal with Him because you're not God. And the only way is that God allows that to teach us. Second thing, not only does God allow them, God uses them. And I've always wondered, God can use anything to teach us. Man, I vote for using the good things to teach me, but I'm not in charge. But God uses them, those thorns in the flesh, those situations that cause us trouble, so that we'll rely on Him. So many times, and we were joking about it this morning, so many times He uses a 2x4 right to the forehead. It's like, hey, get your focus back. He does it to get our attention. Things are going great, and all of a sudden that thorn in the flesh, that spiritual attack, says, remember, you're not in charge. Get your focus back on God. Rely on Him for your strength. Because not only does God allow the thorn, not only does God use the thorn, but I love this part. God's grace is sufficient for that thorn. So many times that thorn, we tend to take our eyes off of God and look at whatever that thorn might be. If it's a person or if it's a situation or if it's a disability or whatever it happens to be, whatever that thorn happens to be that reminds us that we're human, that we have an enemy, that we are not God. When we get to that point, we can fall back on this scripture that He says, "My grace is sufficient for you." Man, no matter what you and I face, no matter what we deal with, no matter what Satan wants to throw at me, my God's grace is sufficient. My God's grace is sufficient. We talked about all the things that Paul overcame. Think about what God has brought you through in the past. Think about that. Sometimes we just think, oh, well, we got through it. No, you didn't. You and I did not get through anything. We would not be where we were, where we are, except for the grace of God. I can remember my grandma saying, and I'm sure she didn't come up with it, but it's there, but for the grace of God go I. I don't know who she got it from, and it's probably famous, but I got it from her. And it's that understanding, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be in a gutter, or I would be dead, or I would be wherever, but I wouldn't be here. But God's grace was sufficient to get me through that situation. And so it's one of those things that as we look at that, understand the purpose of the thorn. God's grace is there and it's sufficient to get us through. But think about this. If I could be strong enough, or you could be strong enough, and there are a lot of people out there that think they are strong enough. If we could be strong enough, well, look at it this way. When you see strong people, do they very seldom rely on other people? No. I'm strong enough. I can do it on my own. I don't need your help. I can do it on my own. We do the same thing spiritually. Oh, well, I'm good enough. I read my Bible. I do this. I do that. And when we think we are strong, that's when the Bible tells us we're going to fall. But when we realize this thorn in our life, it shows us our weakness. And in my weakness, I turn my eyes to Him and His strength is shown through me. That's what we have to understand, is there is a purpose for that thorn. He's going to use it, and sometimes it's kind of like we ask for it. Look at me. I'm doing so good. And then that thorn is there. That reminds me I'm not God. And it reminds me that I'm not doing good. And it reminds me that thorn was there and God allowed it to teach me to be what He wants me to be. So whatever situation you and I are going through, I remember a lot of people always say, well, once I become a Christian, things will all be okay. Man, I just accepted Christ. Everything's going to level out. Well, everybody that's a Christian knows that's not the case. But what we understand is we think things should be smoothed out. You know, I've got this thorn in my flesh. Well, I'm going to give it to God and He's going to remove it. I want you to find that in the book. Because it's not there. Paul prayed 3 times, it tells us. Remove the thorn. Remove the thorn. Remove the thorn. God said no. Somebody else prayed 3 times. Remove this situation. Take this cup from me. Didn't happen. But God's grace for us was sufficient in that situation. God's grace is sufficient for Paul. There is no promise he's going to remove that thorn until the day you stand before him in heaven. Then there will be no more sorrow and no more pain. That thorn will be gone. But until then, you will probably still have it. Now, can he remove it? Yes, he can. Does he remove some? Yes, he does. But there is no promise. The promise is that his grace is sufficient to get you through the storm, to get you through the situation, to show his strength through your weakness. Only he can remove it. You and I fight all the time to try to remove that thorn. I want to get rid of that thorn in my life because I feel like I can do more for God if that thorn is gone. God, if I can just get that thorn out, then I'll be able to do so much more. I'll be able to reach so many more people. And look at the great testimony I would have. I had this thorn and it's out. And so look at the testimony. And yes, God does that sometimes. But James died in prison. Peter was brought out. Why it happens for some and not others, I don't know. I'm not God. You're not God. But what we understand is that God is the one that can remove it. Paul, one of the best preachers, brought the gospel through multiple missionary journeys. 14 years, we know he still had it. He still had the thorn after 14 years. Well, if I'm holy enough, God will remove that thorn. If I pray enough, God will remove that thorn. No, that's not the way it works. That thorn is there to teach us to rely on him. His grace is sufficient for that situation, for that thorn that he's placed in your life. But you know, something happens. This week, as I'm studying this, and I've got it all jotted down on notes, I'll walk a few laps up here and pray, and I'll stop by and I'll write something down. I'll do that for a duration of a morning. And I thought, man, I've got this. It's about God allowing the thorn. It's about God using the thorn. It's about God's grace being sufficient to overcome the thorn. It's about God having the power to remove the thorn. But you know what I did? I focused on the thorn. It's not about the thorn. It's about the grace that overcomes the thorn. He's going to use the thorn. It's not irrelevant. It's not something I ignore. But it's not something I focus on. Because if I focus on the thorn, my eyes are on problems instead of the problem solver. His grace is sufficient for anything. So my focus should be on His grace. Grace. I've heard when I was in college, they would always use the acronym God's Riches at Christ's Expense, G-R-A-C-E. God gives us His riches at the expense of Christ. Partially true, but doesn't cover it all. Grace is when you receive something that you in no way deserve. You can never earn it. You don't deserve it. And it will not be given to you except through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's where we've got to remember. It's not something I earn. Too many times people say, well, I'm going to go to church and
and God's grace is God's grace is because you believe in Jesus Christ. Because you've given your life to Him. Grace is Jesus Christ. When He came and He died on the cross for us. That's grace. We did not deserve that. And apart from that, the wages of sin is death. But God demonstrated His love for us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Grace. Don't focus on the thorns in your life. Know that they're there for a reason. Know that God is sovereign. Know that God will get you through them. Know that God can remove them. But focus on grace. Because grace is what is greater than all of our sins. But you and I want to focus on the thorns. And this world has enough trouble. I have enough things that try to draw my attention away from my Savior. Use that thorn to allow God to strengthen you. Use your weakness to glorify God. Understand that there is nothing that you can do apart from the grace of God. There is nothing good this side of heaven apart from the grace of God. Because without it, there is nothing. We understand, we know that grace is sufficient as a Christian for anything I go through. No matter what trouble I'm facing, I know my God is bigger. But you know what? There are people that live right beside you and me every day. They don't understand grace. They don't understand mercy. The two generally go together. Grace is that God giving us what we'll never deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. You ever played that game where you lock knuckles with somebody and you just try to break their fingers and their wrists? When they've had all they can handle and you've got them bent over on their knees, what do they say? Mercy. I know you could break my wrists. I know you could snap my fingers off. You've got me on my knees. Give me mercy. Don't give me what you can, what I deserve. A person is never more in need of that than when they stand before a holy God and they don't understand it. When a sinner stands before a holy God, they're never in more need than at that time. Yes, I still need God's mercy. I still need God's grace. But praise God, by the blood of Jesus Christ, my soul is saved. But that person that has never accepted Christ as their personal Savior and doesn't understand grace, they've not accepted God's grace and His mercy and His salvation, then that grace is offered, but it's being rejected until they take and accept it. As Christians, you have the opportunity to lead somebody to understanding that God's grace is offered to them. Now, it's not you. It's nothing you do. It's you being a vessel used by God. My grace is sufficient for you. The grace that saved me from condemnation that I deserved. The grace that overcomes the thorn in my flesh. The grace that reminds me my God is sovereign. In that grace alone, for Christ's sake, Paul says, I'll take pleasure in infirmities. mean, if I'm dealing with pain because of God trying to draw my attention back to Him, then praise God, it worked if my attention is being drawn back to Him. If I'm dealing with these other things that Paul talks about in reproaches and in needs and persecutions and distress, if it's all done for Christ's sake, then in my weakness, am I strong? That person that's lost in your weakness, God has strength available. It's offered to you. But if you don't accept it, it will never do anything for you. As we get ready to close this morning, the thorn is there to get your attention back on the grace. So what would it be like if we just kept our focus on the grace, on the mercy, on the God of all grace? That's where we should be. And I'm not saying if my focus is on the God of all grace, that those thorns aren't going to come. Because remember Job, when God said to Satan, "Look at my servant Job, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing." Satan says, "That's the one I want to attack. That one that's doing everything for you, that's doing what you want, that's the one I want to attack." And God allows it. So if you're doing what God wants, Satan's saying, "That's the one I want to attack. That's the one I want to attack. That guy sitting over there doing nothing, I don't need to attack him. I want to attack this one that's doing what God wants me to do, or what God wants them to do." Satan wants to attack you, but God's grace is sufficient. So as we go out this week, if we're going to deal with the thorns anyway, let's focus on the grace. If you've never accepted Christ, you don't understand the grace, man, talk to somebody. Understand what God's love is for you. You and I can't change this world. But the grace of God through you and I, He can change this world. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, we pray that You would be glorified today. Not just today, but every day. But Lord, take Your Word, pierce our hearts, pierce our minds. Change us. Don't let us walk in and out of this place unchanged by You. Lord, draw us close to You and never let us go. We thank You for that promise. Lord, we lift this time to You that we would just praise You and honor You from the bottom of our hearts. In Your precious name I pray. Amen.